Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
You know, we look at our farmer values. We believe that our farmers are the leaders in action, and they're taking action every single day through every farmer, every acre, and it requires every leader in action. So we just said, well, why don't we just change our name? You know, our name in action actually represents what we do on our farms. We take action. We also inspire leaders to take action, and we believe that action on our farm and on the environment really happens through farmers. So let's just change our name.
Aaron Fitzgerald is CEO of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action, or USFRA.
And so we're really all about leading a decade of agriculture. We believe by 2030 we need to raise the ambition of the sector, bring all of the food and agriculture leaders together towards a common purpose, and that's part of our name change.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
For the past 5 years, that mission area has been extremely busy with implementation of the 2018 Farm Bill, disaster assistance, working to combat illegal tariffs from China and protect the food supply in the face of disruptions due to COVID.
Georgia Representative Austin Scott, a member of the House Ag Committee, at a recent subcommittee hearing to Robert Bonney, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation.
I hope that we use our lessons learned from these past couple of years as we go into the next Farm Bill to help improve on all of those areas.
Bonney was also reacting to a question on why USDA isn't fully staffed.
While COVID-19 continues to present challenges for in-person staffing of USDA offices, our staff have continued to do their jobs at full capacity. Indeed, we have implemented several new pandemic programs on top of our existing farm safety net and conservation programs. As we've navigated the pandemic, our priority has been on the safety of our staff. FPAC has deployed an incident management team to monitor the spread of the disease and to adjust staffing accordingly.
And he admits drought has brought some big challenges.
Between 35 to 40% of the contiguous U.S. experienced severe to exceptional drought last year. The region hardest hit was the West, in which 80% experienced severe or exceptional drought. In response, USDA both updated the ELAP program to help cover the cost of transporting feed for livestock that rely on grazing and lowered the drought intensity threshold that triggers assistance. FSA is now moving quickly to deliver $10 billion provided by Congress in additional disaster assistance to agricultural producers impacted by wildfire, droughts, hurricanes, winter storms, and other eligible disasters from 2020 and 2021. In implementing this law, our goals are to reduce the paperwork burden on producers, ease agency administrative burdens while maintaining accountability, and encourage producers to use existing safety net programs by linking assistance to them. USDA will follow a two-phase process to administer relief to eligible producers, with the first phase utilizing a streamlined process that relies on existing data that producers have already provided USDA. We plan to distribute at least half of the $750 million for livestock through the first phase by the end of March.
He also singled out the importance of crop insurance.
With increasing extreme weather, crop insurance remains a vital tool for agriculture. RMA continues to develop and expand its offering to row crops, fruits and vegetables, and other parts of agriculture. We recently announced a micro farm policy to ensure we are helping producers of all size. We developed and implemented the pandemic cover crop program to incentivize use of cover crops across 12 million acres. We recently announced an additional insurance coverage for corn farmers who split apply nitrogen, a cost-effective and environmentally friendly practice.
Bonney also talked about how agriculture productivity can be climate friendly.
Agriculture has a vital role to play in mitigating greenhouse gases. Fortunately, many of the practices that benefit the climate also improve agricultural and forest productivity. USDA's approach to climate change for agriculture and forestry will be voluntary, incentive-based, producer-led, and grounded in science.
He was testifying Tuesday before a House Ag Subcommittee on General Farm Commodities and Risk Management, Robert Bonney with USDA. It's Agriculture Today. The best thing you can put on your crop is your shadow. Your need to be in the field won't change, and the Cotton Research and Promotion Program was put into place to make sure you get the most from every minute you're out there. That's why the Cotton Board and Cotton Incorporated work alongside growers to spur innovation, fund research, and foster sustainability so generations of farming families can walk the same turn rows for years to come. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
For years, cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. NextGen brand cottonseed from America. You can depend on NextGen varieties for performance and yields year after year. And for this year's season, there are several new Bolgard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Oh, and one other thing. AmeriCot is now offering Cotless seed treatments to protect your seed investment against your early season challenges. To find out more, contact your local NextGen representative or seed dealer today. AmeriCot. All we do is cotton. All the time.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Well, we are seeking, you're right, to grow our investment, trade investment with partners on a continent, on the African continent, in a way that delivers equitable, inclusive prosperity to all countries and their workers.
Sarah Bianchi is ambassador and deputy U.S. trade representative on a potential deal with a country in Africa.
Ambassador Tai hosted the AGOA virtual ministerial in October to exchange perspectives with her counterparts on that vision, and met in person in December with the Secretary General of Africa Continental Free Trade Area to discuss how we could support the regional integration. We have been doing a lot of robust engagement with Kenya. We're exploring ways to deepen our trade and investment relationship there with the goal of promoting investment and equitable development and sustainable trade. So at the same time, we want to be supportive of Kenya and its Africa partners, regional economic integration objectives in the African continental free trade area. You'll have more to say on Kenya in the coming weeks, but we do want to keep a really deep engagement going. We've met a number of times with the Kenyans, and that's something I think we'll have some news to share in the coming weeks.
Bianchi speaking recently for the Washington International Trade Association's International Trade Conference on Human Rights.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of human rights concerns that have been raised by this administration that have been put forward front and center. And, that's part of the overall China relationship. Much of that, we work with and is managed by, our counterparts at the National Security Council, the State Department, other parts of the administration, but it's a really important priority. And, it certainly plays into the work that we're doing. I think the president has made very clear how important this is to him. And
then there's a potential deal with the UK. Kent Backus is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
That's something I haven't heard about in quite a long time. And, Canada and Mexico negotiate trade agreements all the time. The United States is not out there, saying, no, you can't do this. I think that's a check against, maybe negotiating with some nefarious partners in other parts of the world. I think with the United Kingdom, we all work closely with the British. And, especially the U.S. and Canada, we're all part of the same security network. And so I think that's going to be a natural fit. The U.S. is sovereign, and the U.S. is going to negotiate with whoever they want to. They are obviously going to notify trade partners whenever they're doing that, and everybody reads our press anyway, so they're going to see it. But at the end of the day, it's Congress that ultimately sets trade policy for the United States. They send the executive branch out to do the dirty work, kind of, so to speak, negotiate it and use that skill set with consultation from Congress. But it's Congress and the American people that decide terms of trade, not foreign powers. And so I think when this finally, moves through, I don't think there'll be any opposition. It's trade with the United Kingdom. It is a natural fit for us. There's a lot of benefits, a lot of similarities, and not a lot of the concerns that, folks have as far as environment, labor, human rights that you may have in other parts of the world. I think this is the right direction that we should go. We should be trading more with our allies. We should be building those supply chains with them. And we look forward to moving forward with that in 2022 and beyond.
It's Agriculture Today.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
This is Agriculture Today.
In terms of domestic demand, per capita beef consumption is expected to be about 57 pounds per person in 2022 compared to almost 59 pounds in 2021, or around 3% lower.
Dr. Jason Frankens with Western Illinois University.
Meanwhile, exports are projected to decline by more than 5% this year. Those export projections account for the lower anticipated beef production and reflect that 2021 was a banner year for U.S. exports with annual growth of 17%. That is, projected exports for 2022 are still almost 11% higher than 2020.
Now, Caitlin McCulloch is the director of the Livestock Marketing Information Center.
You know, it is that time of year where we would start to see probably some appreciation in the fed cattle market. Friday closed in the five area about 139.70. I think that's a fairly strong price considering the weather disruptions we had earlier in that week and possibly a little bit lighter or trucking issues. I mean, the kill levels on a national basis, at least for federally inspected, didn't seem to really take a hit, but there was this notion that we might see some problems associated with that. And so I would take that price as a good sign that we didn't necessarily see some of those problems that we might have anticipated. But yeah, this cash market is really strong. The box beef number has started to come down a little bit, and so we might see a little bit of shrinking in those packer margins. Still very strong packer margins, though. Plenty of room there to continue to pay high fed cattle prices in the first and second quarter. But yeah, overall, we're looking at still a very strong cash market.
So that's the cash market, but what about the feeder market?
So the feeder cattle market has been maybe a little more interesting. We've seen a little bit of break between heavier weights and lighter weights, especially in the Southern Plains. So over the last couple of weeks, Southern Plains steers have 500 to 600 pounds have kind of hovered just under that 190 level, but showed strong gains basically since the fourth quarter of this year. Now, if you look at 7 to 8, those haven't really gained ground. They've relatively held rather steady under 160, maybe even a little bit lower than what we saw in December. Last week, when we saw pretty strong gains in both the live cattle market and some days in the feeder cattle market, corn and soybeans, I think, are playing a more significant role right now in those feeder cattle prices. Corn still in December looking at above $6, so not inexpensive by any means. And so I think that's really going to temper this feeder cattle market moving forward. These things don't usually at least operate for very long in silos. They all need to be connected. Those younger calves need to grow up, get fed, and then eventually be processed. And so you don't see these markets out of whack from each other for too long usually. And so I think that needs to be part of in all of our minds as we're thinking about implications from the cattle inventory report. What are feed costs going to do this year? Now, the corn and soybean market are playing off of South America right now quite a bit, but pretty soon we're going to turn our attention to the U.S. crop and what that looks like in aspects of planting intentions and then how the growing season is. But from our perspective, it doesn't appear that there's much that's going to change the current corn price, at least from now to the U.S. harvest. It does look like South America is being heavily influenced still by that La Nina pattern, which generally is a little bit weaker crop production scenario. And so, when I look at that feeder cattle market, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of upside for those 7 to 8s. We have actually a relatively flat but higher than last year price outlook with a little bit better prices maybe on those calves from a year-over-year perspective.
It's Agriculture Today.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022's here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
When your field calls for the perfect type of tough, go all in on FiberMax Cotton to deliver the right seed for whatever you're up against. Like the FiberMax 1621 GL variety. Strong as an ox, fights like a bull. Built to buck stress, boost yield quality, and muscle up when bacterial blight throws down. Whether you're looking for that type of tough or another, you can find it at FiberMax.com. FiberMax Cotton Seed from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
A hearing to review farm policy with Undersecretary Robert Bonney will come to order.
Illinois Representative Sherry Bustos, Chairwoman of the Subcommittee on General Farm and Commodity Risk Management.
During the past year, the subcommittee has held a series of sessions listening to our important stakeholders so we can keep a pulse on what's happening on the ground in farm country. We've held a hearing with a group of farmers, a crop insurance agent, and an ag economist to get a better understanding of how our farm safety net programs are working. What we learned from those is critically important as we evaluate how programs are working. We know that the pandemic has continued to impact all of society, including supply chain disruptions that have led to higher input costs for farmers. And farmers across the country have been experiencing more and more extreme weather events, a polar vortex, historic drought, multiple hurricanes and tornadoes in December, no less.
She talks about how the challenges are addressed.
There are a variety of critical programs designed to help farmers through these tough times. I hear through pretty much every ag meeting that I have how important the federal crop insurance program is to help farmers manage this risk. Congress has also provided significant disaster funding to provide additional support for producers hit by extreme weather, funding for which was requested by the Biden administration last September. And commodity programs like ARC, PLC, and marketing assistance loans have been important safety net options for producers, with several enhancements to those programs made in the last farm bill. And just yesterday, Secretary Vilsack announced an important new initiative, the Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities, which will help develop new marketing opportunities for farmers.
At the end of the day, not all farms or farmers are equal. Representative Austin Scott from Georgia, ranking member of the subcommittee.
I grew up working on a farm and owned several hundred head of cattle with my grandfather at one point. But today I'm part of the 98% of Americans whose primary connection to agriculture is eating every day. Only 2% of the people in this country are classified as farm producers. That comes from a pretty broad definition, and I want everybody to understand that anybody who has the potential to produce $1,000 in sales in this country, by definition, is considered an ag producer. The reality is there are about 200,000 full-time farmers and farms, most of which are family-owned, that are responsible for producing about 85% of the food supply in this country. I want to say that again. 200,000 or approximately 0.1% of the American population, our farm families are responsible for 85% of the food supply on the shelves that we consume on a daily basis. It's a very small line of producers that stands between us being self-reliant and us being dependent on foreign countries for our groceries.
But he was quick to point out, at the end of the day, Congress is responsible for protecting the food supply and the producers.
That's why I think it's critical that we have an effective farm safety net and that we have open and honest discussions about where our food supply comes from and the danger of disrupting that from some of the policies that are being promoted by the extreme left.
And finally, USDA out on Wednesday with the World Ag Supply Demand Estimates and the season average farm price for wheat, $7.30, the highest in over 10 years. Corn, $5.45 a bushel, beans, $13, cotton, 90 cents, and all milk, $23.55 a hundredweight. It's Agriculture Today.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Stock up and save on John Deere filters and packaged oil at the South Plains Implement semi-annual sale. Now through February 28th, receive 10 to 12% off John Deere filters and packaged oil for large ag equipment and 10% off compact tractor home maintenance kits and oil when you purchase filters. No payments, no interest options available on qualifying purchases. Some restrictions apply. See us for details. With 14 locations, there's a South Plains Implement near you. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Seems like everyone's really having some good days, right? We're out of COVID. We're off the Zoom. It's sunny here. What I'm really excited is really seeing like a lot about sustainability, about the future of ag, and that ag can be a solution.
Aaron Fitzgerald is CEO of USFRA, the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action.
It is so important to have to be right alongside. You know, we know this, right? When you do business, you want to be with partners. Well, who are our partners? They are the food makers. If you add, every time I walk into a farmer room, they say, oh, there's 2% who farm today, and there's another 98%. I'm like, well, who are the other people? Okay, really back it up. If you add up who works in food and ag, 15% of the American workforce works in food and agriculture. So if we work together, then maybe we can do a better job about telling the American public the good things that we're doing. If we work together on our business solutions, we can do a lot together. So let's get us all working together. That's what the Decade of Ag is about. Let's make certain that everybody, you know, at Nestle and these brands, they know where their food comes from, that we're working together on this. This is a tough business, the food and agriculture sector, you know. Let's join forces. Let's work together. And at the end of the day, we know we can do a lot together in our communities and for the plants. Let's just really work together.
Fitzgerald was at the World Ag Expo in Tulare, California.
So we have 30 harvests, and everyone kind of goes, what does that mean? So by 2050, we have 10 billion people that are going to come to dinner. And for any other sector, you can say, well, okay, we got to improve more. We can, you know, healthcare, you can imagine, or your iPhone, you can say, I can imagine this being a little bit more creative. Well, the last 10 years, the iPhone isn't even the coolest invention. It's older than 10 years. But if you imagine our farmers to get that much better, to feed 10 billion people, that means that we have to grow as much food as we produce in all of mankind for the last 8,000 years. And that means that every spring, every farmer worldwide is going to have to get incrementally better in the face of Mother Nature. And that job, well, that has become a lot harder. 8 out of the last 10 harvest seasons have been extreme and episodic events. This is no longer business as usual. Everybody, you kind of know this. Don't put a word to it, but you know it. It's been tough. And we've got to innovate in that new business climate. And so 30 harvests is really saying for our farmers, it's 30 chances to get it right. We need everybody to be partnering with us. This is the grand challenge of our lifetime. This is bigger than going to the moon, guys. We know how to go to the moon. We know how to put people up in the rocket. But we got to figure out planet Earth. We got to figure out what we're doing underneath our soils. And our farmers, we're committed to it, but we need help. We need innovation. We need solution. We need technology and financing now.
And she's floored by soil.
Gosh, there's so many. There's a panel tonight talking about the microbes in soil. You know, there's 20,000 different soil types. I didn't know that. I mean, that is a complicated business, right? And so every farmer I know, it's like, you know, there's a lot out there. And the consuming public and even our scientists and people are in the business don't even realize how complex this little Mother Nature biogeome that is under our soil. But we know that our soils are the solution. And the more we put our investment in there, the more we put our technology and our know-how in soil, every farmer I know, they're kind of intuiting it and they're using science or using technology, but there's so much more. It's untapped science. So let's keep going. It's a new frontier. Let's go for it.
At the end of the day, what matters?
I guess I don't know who can grow our food other than us. Food, feed, and fiber. Like, you know, it's the question, like, if it's not me, then who? You know, ask yourself, what can you do, right? That was a big old question. So you have to get involved and you have to step up. You have your own destiny. And I would say that coming together, working together as a solution, as an agriculture together, working together, we can be a solution. So get involved in USFRA. I'd love to have you. If you've got hidden talents, let me know. We'll put you to work.
It's Agriculture Today.
My name is Manuel Macias. My dream was to become a farmer like my grandfather and my dad. It was hard back then. I wanted so bad to buy some land, but no bank will go with me until I went to Capital Farm Credit. And as soon as I walked in, I felt the friendliness in it. It's a partnership. It's good to do business with a company that looks out and gives you back whatever you put in. Capital Farm Credit, together we're better.
AquaYield regional agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burn down.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burn down herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at AquaYield.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Yeah, this nation has had a very deliberate policy of getting people out, owning, rooted to the land, building communities, building, you know, schools and churches and hospitals and the things and roads and bridges and the things and broadband today, things that really make community work.
Tom Sell is co-founder and principal with Combest Sell and Associates.
And that was a very deliberate approach. It was the old Jeffersonian approach. Of course, Hamilton gets a lot of press these days because of the great musical. But he was in a battle with Jefferson, and at that time, you know, Hamilton really wanted more the European model, right? A landed gentry that would employ people, because ordinary people weren't savvy or sophisticated enough to deal with the challenges and the vagaries of weather and the challenges of owning and managing a farm. Well, Jefferson had a very different idea. He said we need to be a land of citizen farmers. And we need to do like no other nation before us has ever done, root people to the land. So we, even from our nation's beginnings, you know, people like to talk about farm policy as a Great Depression type of creation, you know, to address the Dust Bowl. But our nation's farm policy was far, you know, before that. It was actually this deliberate attempt through homestead acts and land giveaways to, you know, it's called a subsidy now, I guess is what we would call it, but we were giving away land for the very deliberate purpose of creating commerce throughout our nation and building communities throughout our nation. And it's that kind of pragmatic work that is still done by the committees now with a lot more complex issues and a lot more complex environment where it's fashionable to be at one another's throats, unfortunately, to be upset or outraged about something. I do want to just start the conversation by laying this out. I promise you, it's not as bad in Washington, D.C., as what you see on the news. You know, the news loves to report sensationalism. And there are a lot of very good people, just like G.T. Thompson, who you're not going to see on CNN or Fox or MSN or any of the others, because he's just back there doing his work, building relationships across the aisle, trying to solve the problems. So I want to assure everyone, that is really how Washington always has and still works today.
Sell speaking at a rural issues summit at World Ag Expo. Aaron Fitzgerald is CEO of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action.
It's all about making certain that we put our farmers first and into the conversations that matter. This past year, there was a UN event, this the Food Summit, and it really will define the future of food and agriculture. And we felt very strongly that our farmers needed to be there. Our chairwoman at the time, and you'll meet Marilyn Hirsch, our new chair, Ann Meese, was like, I'm going. I'm like, bring your boots. And we have a picture of her underneath the glove with her boots. And we're like, we are leaders in action right here. And we led a march off the stage, even. We said that, you know, we are the eco workforce, the eco boots in nature. These are the two panelists. They're farmers. And if you believe that farmers can be that eco workforce, can be the solutions for climate change, that plants can go fix it and our farmers can do it, then we're going to walk off stage and we're going to go to our chefs, who are also the handprint in our communities and can go solve it. Let's work on this together. And we made basically a call that farmers should be at the climate change talks in 2027. So we're headed to Egypt. Every farmer listening, get ready. I know you might think it's crazy that this whole thing on climate change, but I'm telling you, our farmers, we know how to do this stuff. We need to lead by example.
It's Agriculture Today.
When your field calls for the perfect type of tough, go all in on FiberMax Cotton to deliver the right seed for whatever you're up against. Like the FiberMax 2398 GLTP variety. Strong as an ox, fights like a bull. Built to buck stress, boost yield quality, and stand strong when that verticillium wilt comes creeping. Whether you're looking for that type of tough or another, you can find it at FiberMax.com. FiberMax Cotton Seed from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Let's look at soybeans. Again, we're going to use a Central Illinois example with a 70 bushel APH yield. Our projected price is $13.50, cash price $13.20. Our expected revenue would be $9.24. That would be our expected cash revenue minus our total cost, which in this case is total $777. $472 in non-line costs, $305 in cash rent.
University of Illinois Ag Economist Gary Schnittke.
If we look at the RP coverage levels at 85%, we have a cash revenue guarantee of $785. That does exceed our cost by $8. So on soybeans, we have a chance of an $8 return. That obviously wouldn't go very far in meeting our obligations.